started several churches, being the main one in Brazil, Tabatinga. We're running about 200 people in a town of 50,000 people. But next door to us is Leticia in Colombia. 50,000 people there also. A town that's mostly Catholic. In Colombia, people are mostly Catholic. Now, where we are in Brazil, right next door to Leticia in Tabatinga, people call themselves evangelicals, many of them, about 60% of the town. But the kind of gospel that got there was the wrong kind of gospel. Pentecostals, charismatics, sects of all sorts, Presbyterians and all sorts of people. And it's funny that in a town where they call themselves evangelicals, there's more crime than in the town that is Roman Catholic, right next door. 50,000 people in each one of those towns. And if the gospel that reaches a certain area is a false gospel, it will not do anything. It will not change lives. Now, where we are, Emmanuel Baptist Church, we have gained a reputation of that's the church where you can find salvation and really get saved. People say that about us. And we started with a fairly good size crowd there. And we're having like 300, 350 in our services. So we started this church in 2004. But as we started preaching about living right, living a godly life in Christ Jesus, people started leaving, quitting. But we're still running about 150 to 200. It's a work that we started with 8 people in 2004. In October 2004, we started in March 2004. In October 2004, we had church inauguration. We met with about 450 people. Brother Stanley Craig came over from South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, preached for us during that time. And the work has grown, and besides the work in Tabatinga, then we have two others in Peru, two other works in Peru, and then three other works in Colombia. Your Sunday school teacher asked me to bring a word to you all. And I know you're following the theme of God. But I'd like to bring you something that I always found very, very interesting, which is Psalm 73, which talks about the prosperity of sinners. And how is it that sometimes we see the sinner prospering and the godly man not prospering, not doing so well, sometimes suffering? And you know that for the Christian, there is suffering. Jesus said there was. There's a lot of prosperity preaching out there. And we know that's not biblical preaching. It's not what the Bible teaches. The Lord Jesus Christ said, in this world you shall have tribulations. We're going to have problems. But he said, be of good cheer, for I overcame the world. And if he overcame, we can also. And also the psalmist David said that many are the tribulations of the saints, of the godly people, but the Lord shall deliver them of them all. Psalm 73, beginning on verse 1, the Bible says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Now this man is talking from a perspective of a godly person, a Christian person. But then he says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Isn't it what happens to some of us at different times? We get discouraged. They're where we are in the Amazon. Sometimes we get discouraged. Times are hard. And people are of a hard heart. They have been used to living in a very ungodly way. And when they get saved, they changed. There's a lot that changes, but it's still the hardness is in there. And a lot of things, many of them keep going back to those things which they should not be going back at all. But here it says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." And I know that here in the United States of America, there is no real poverty. If a person has any kind of willpower and desire, any kind of health, he can make a living anywhere. And if he doesn't want to, I guess the government will support him, which is, I don't think that's what it should be, really. I think that this work of charity, this work of taking care of the poor should be for the churches and for Christian people to do, not for the state. Unfortunately, I think we're going towards socialism in this country. And I pray to God that this will not last very long, but America's not in Bible prophecy, is it? So are we going down? Is that the purpose of God? So that the forces of the Antichrist would take over? "I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment." It really seems like the ungodly people do prosper. It seems like they do not have as much suffering as those that don't have as much. It says, "Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish." It's one thing that I find interesting as far as human nature is concerned is that people never have enough. Never do. And they are always reaching for something else, for advancing financially, economically, socially, but very few are progressing as far as their relationship with God. And many Christians are falling into that trap also. And but we know that even though the unrighteous will prosper in this world, that there is an end to them. There is an end to their goals. It says they are corrupt, verse 8, and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. Isn't it interesting that our world and our nation, our society, Western world in general, are running more and more away from absolutes. They don't want to know about anything about absolutes and moral living. Isn't that interesting how this election was won? How there was so much cheating? How is it that these people are grasping for power and they didn't care how they reached it, how they obtained it? And I'm not here defending Democrats or Republicans. I'm an American also. I served during Vietnam time. I'm proud of my service to my country. But I know that morals is something that people do not care about anymore. They don't care how they do what they do. They don't care how they achieve what they achieve. They'll lie, they'll cheat. If possible, they would kill to achieve what they want to achieve. And so they prosper. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. That's verse 9 of Psalm 73. It seems like more and more Christianity, real Christianity, is not something that is desirable. Government is blocking the way of our freedom, for our freedom, and it seems that like our liberty, our freedom of gathering and freedom of speech is more and more being taken away. And the reason why I'm bringing this psalm to you all is because I want you all to know that there is hope for us. Not in this world, but there is hope. And maybe we're not going to see the days of great revivals like they happened in the 1800s and early 1900s. But we can say, like Paul the Apostle, he says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm sure that he's more than able to keep that which I have committed until that day. Our reward is not in this earth. And we may lose the battle here in this world as far as, because Satan is going to prevail more and more until, see, people say things are going to get better. There is going to be revival. No such a thing. Lord Jesus Christ said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? It's going to go from here to worse. But we're going to stay faithful. We're going to do what we must do. We're going to keep our commitment to God. It doesn't matter how the wicked prosper. It doesn't matter how they obtain what they obtain. It doesn't matter the fact that they're opposing us and opposing godliness. It doesn't matter the fact that they care not about morals and absolutes. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Verse 10 says, therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. This is talking about suffering. There's more persecution and more suffering today, as far as believers are concerned, than there has ever been. And nobody's talking about. The media doesn't talk about. But our Christian brothers are being killed in China. They are being killed in Arab countries where you cannot even carry a Bible with you, where you cannot even go in the country like Saudi Arabia with the Word of God. Even if you don't share with anybody, just the fact that you have it makes you an infidel. And if they can, they would kill you. The prosperity of the wicked. How is it that things are unfolding so quickly, bringing us to the end of times? Therefore his people, God's people, return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how does God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Increase in power. And this will continue. It will keep on. Then the psalmist says, "Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in incense." Is it possible? Wicked prospering, when we see these false religions prospering, thousands and thousands gathering. Then maybe we might say to our own selves, is it worth being a fundamental Bible believer, an independent Baptist? Is it worth believing literally everything that the King James Bible says? Is it worth? Because these people, they don't think like we do, and they take the Bible out of context and they do things that they want to do without really being serious about God, and they prosper. Their churches are filled up. So what are we going to do? Are we going to become like them? And they're saying, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Verse 13, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Paul said, your work is not vain in the Lord. Even though Satan might try to convince us that it is vain, but it's not. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When a believer becomes bitter because of circumstances, because of different situations, he has to understand that his bitterness will affect other people. Everything we do affects other people. And when we do not think about others, we're being selfish. When we don't think about the influence that we will have on the lives of other believers, we do not have the real love of God in us, or it's not operating in us. Then he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Do you realize that the more we fellowship together and stay in God's word, the more we understand what is it, what's the purpose of God for this planet, for humankind, then the more we understand that we are on the side of victory. That there is nothing that can bring us defeat, because we are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their hand. Do you realize that it is because we gather, it's because we study God's word, it's because we pray together, it's because we are encouraging each other that we remain? And I'm not talking about salvation here, but we remain effective, we remain working, we remain encouraged. The plan of God for the believer is the church, the local church. And when we attend, when we cooperate, when we think about missions, when we think about winning the community for Christ, when we think about the children, when we think about our own family, in the context of the church, then we are valuable to the work of God. And exactly the opposite happens when we become bitter. And we're so immersed in our own selves that we are not effective. That we become worthless vessels to the work of God. Surely, verse 18, then he starts understanding. See, this is what the Word of God does for us. This is what the church does for us. That's what the preaching of God's Word does for us. It says, surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. That's the end of the wicked. They may prosper right now. And they will go ahead and they will start that confederacy of nations there in Europe. And they will rule the world for a while. But their time is limited. And their power will come to an end. Seems like our president now wants to turn the United States of America into a European kind of nation, bring their socialism to us, which is, I believe, it's an ungodly thing. More and more Europe is turning away from God, and more United States will turn away from God if it keeps going on that route. Government controlling everything. Verse 19, how are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. It will happen. Their time will come. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to this world and he's going to reign in glory for 1,000 years. And he's going to show how is it that you run the world. How is it that he is King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 20, as a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. The time is coming when the Lord's going to awake. In a sense, it's like letting things happen, but he's going to awake. And he's going to tell at the right time, God the Father will tell the Son, this is the time. Go gather your saints. And hell will break loose here in this earth for 7 years. But we'll return with him. To reign with him. Verse 21 says, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. Repentance because of bitterness. It's so easy for a Christian to become bitter and to lose the sight of that which is really, really important. So foolish was I, and ignorant I was as a beast before thee. Ignorant because he was not staying God's word. It's the word of God that keeps us in the context, keeps us, keep the sight of his plan in our hearts so we do not get discouraged. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. It's like the Christian walk. Day by day, the Lord guiding us. Day by day. The scripture says all things work together for good to them that love God. And so we live day by day. Tribulation, yes. Trouble, sickness, enmity. It's like Paul said in one occasion, says, troubles within in the church, troubles outside. But we continue. And then he will receive us to glory, as the psalmist says there, verse 24, that our time will come. Our time is limited. And we must understand it is limited. And it will come to an end. The Lord Jesus Christ said that the night cometh when no one can work. My night will come someday when I die. Or when the Lord Jesus Christ takes me with the rest, with all the saints. Then the time is gone. My night came. As far as my opportunity to work for Him, we must work now. While there is day, and while we still can and have an opportunity, the work that we will do for Christ only has value while we have life here on this earth. In other words, this is the time to serve Him in this life. But the time will come and He will receive us to glory. Verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. What does it take to do the work of God? To love Him. To desire His fellowship. To desire to walk with Him. Verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It reminds me of the time when the Lord came to Abraham and said, Abraham, I am thy shield, as I am your defense, and I am your great, great reward. What is your reward? What is your reward here on earth? If the presence of God in your life is your reward, you're in the right direction. Verse 27, for lo, they are far from thee. They that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. The word whoring implies unfaithfulness. Are we faithful to Him? But it is good for me, verse 28, to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. It's good to get close to God. How is your personal fellowship with God? Are you growing day by day? He said, I have put my trust in the Lord. When we're bitter, when we're anxious, when we have no peace within, it means we have walked away from the presence of God. We're not walking with Him. Because if we are walking with Him, we have peace. Peace with Him. We know that that which He allows in our lives will be for our good. The Bible says all things work together for good. Hard to understand. He says, I will draw near to thee. I'll put my trust in thee, that I may declare all thy works. The works of God. And the main work of God is the fact that He brought salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you declaring His salvation day by day? Are you telling the lost world how is it that they can do the works of God? Jesus said the works of God is that they may believe in Him who He has sent. Let's pray.